All right, what's up, and welcome back for another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, the podcast born out of recognizing the importance of the second stage of the mastery process, conscious incompetence. This is your host, Jim Perro, speaking, and every week I add a new chapter onto the anthological discussion on life, taking action, and the value of conscious thought. Join me and the occasional guest for a head-in-the-clouds perspective on how to stay grounded and win in all that you do. Enjoy! Again, I'm doing a rare lunchtime episode today, and by rare, I mean never recorded at lunch before, so first time for everything, right? I had a late night episode planned for last night. Ended up falling asleep, waking up at like 1:30 in the morning, so not the best time to record an episode when you're foggy as shit and it's 1:30 in the morning and you have work. The next day being today. So instead of my not so special, actually, late night episode, because it's just an episode, coming at you today, it's lunchtime today. I'm on my lunch break, as you know, working from home, getting ready to take the pup out to maybe play for a little while. And yeah, wanted to get this in because meant to do it yesterday, and I done fucked up. So, actually, that kind of plays really well into what I'm going to be talking about today, because, fell prey to this again. Good job, Jim. So yesterday, I had a really busy day during the day of sleeping hungover on the couch and playing with dogs, and knowing that I wanted to record an episode yesterday, and I just kept pushing it off, right? And so then I ended up around 3, ended up helping my buddy Matt move some of his old shit out of his old house and over to his girlfriend's house, who he's moving in with. Then I went to the gym, and I'll record afterwards. And then I ate dinner and then sat on my bed for probably like 20 minutes, brainstorming some stuff, writing some stuff down. And then I fell asleep. Yeah, isn't that just lovely? Great. And so if you saw my Instagram story on Saturday morning, which I threw up before I headed out to the golf course, I did not do exactly what I talked about doing that morning, which was doing the damn thing. Just do that thing, whatever it is that you have been putting off, right? It's just important to make moves and strike while the iron is hot. And why is that so important, right? That just, for instance, this is what I did on Friday, and then I did it again on Sunday after a weekend of being conscious of it, and it just happened anyway. How many times have you thought about just like, you know, there's something you got to do. There's somebody you got to talk to. There's conversation that you need to have. There's a task you need to complete. You got to clean this, or you got to organize that, or you got to go run this errand, so on and so forth. But you're thinking, oh no, I can get to that later. It'll be a better time to do it, right? You know, you're holding off on whatever that thing is. You know, maybe it's raining and you got to go to the store, but then you wait till the rain is done, and then you don't have time to go to the store and get everything done, right? How often, I'm kind of talking a little fast, I've had a few extra cups of coffee this morning. But regardless, you know, what are you holding out for, right? What are you holding out for? You are holding out for the perfect conditions, whether you know it or not, and whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, that's what we do, right? We're, most of us, myself included, are, you know, whether it's out of true actual just procrastination or laziness, we're waiting for the perfect conditions. It's a psychological thing, right? We want everything to go just the way that we've envisioned it in our heads, right? And we want things to play out exactly how we plan on them playing out. And if we really are truly, you know, intent on finding those perfect conditions, there's not much that can stop us, right? And it's kind of problematic, right? Because the perfect conditions are, they're hard enough to find in any walk of life, let alone when you are trying to create the perfect conditions, right? They're hard to find, and they're almost never even as perfect as we imagine them to be. And so oftentimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but you just end up doing that thing anyway because you absolutely have to do it now, when in reality, you could have gotten it done 10 days ago or 2 hours ago because you're still doing it and it's not being done under perfect conditions anyway. And so I guess here's what I should have done was just accept that knowledge that, yeah, it's never really going to be the perfect time. I'm a little hungover, you know, I'm a little dehydrated, I'm a little bored, I'm a little lazy, but so the perfect conditions for me to record an episode yesterday and perfect conditions for you to really do anything is, it's a fantasy. It's all fictional, right? It's just a fantastic way to rationalize your own procrastination is the pursuit of perfection, is what I think, anyway, because nothing in life is perfect, and like I said, it's hard enough to find the perfect conditions out there, let alone to maintain them and operate under them, right? And this kind of falls under whether it's a theory or a best practice or whatever it is that I've talked about before, and was a big piece of one of the CEOs of a former company, was this concept of ready, fire, aim versus ready, aim, fire, right? And so the theory behind ready, fire, aim versus ready, aim, fire is kind of reorienting your priorities and the time that you spend on each section of the decision-making process or on like an action plan for a task. And so with ready, aim, fire, you spend your time getting ready and then adjusting and making sure that, you know, everything is just right for the, you know, for the action, for the firing of whatever it is that you're going to do, right? So the bulk of your time is spent preparing, but more importantly, aiming, right? Your aim is attempting to adjust the conditions. Let's even call the A and RAF adjustment. So you're adjusting your conditions, trying to make sure that everything's perfect so that when you do finally take your shot, you know, you finally actually get out and start to do the thing, you set yourself up in the best position possible already ahead of time. You've done the due diligence, and here you are, right? And so I think the theory, and this is something that I guess I have been a bit out of practice with, is, if I'm being completely honest with myself, is reorienting those priorities, especially/specifically, which is now especially, I suppose, adjusting where the A is in that equation. So RAF, ready, aim, fire. What happens if you move that A? You move the A to the back of the equation. Now you have ready, fire, aim, right? And so you've reoriented your priorities and where you spend most of your time. So now with the A at the back, you're spending your time, sure, assessing the situation, but then you're taking action first and foremost. Before you're doing any kind of adjustment, you're taking action and you're adjusting your game plan when you're ready to try again. So granted, yeah, you may be going into the actual action with a little bit less intel, but you come out on the other side of having engaged in the task with significantly more intel, because now not only do you have the result, but you have identified the weak points in your initial assessment. You've figured out, okay, yeah, what could I have done better? What could I have done worse based on what I didn't do before I did the thing? So I'll give you a perfect example of that in practice. And this is a negative example of that in practice. It's an example of spending too much time getting ready and aiming than firing. So again, perfect example. So last week, for work, my goal last week was just to reach out to a bunch of partners, within our sales channel. And I'm supposed to set appointments up with them for one of my new field reps, to stop in at all their facilities in Dallas and Austin, Texas. And so there was one partner that it was, you know, absolutely business critical that she needed to meet with, per the words of, you know, the folks above me. Absolutely business critical that she meets with this partner before the end of the year. And this was the first chance for her to get in there. And so I'm thinking, all right, great. I'm going to make sure that this gets done. I'm going to make sure that no matter how many appointments I set and who I set them with, that these guys are on the list and she's meeting with the person at the partner that's going to make the decision that she's ultimately going to do the business with, right? And so I dove right in and I called some other people and I got a bunch of other people on the line for other companies. But when it came to this organization, I started diving in because I'm like, okay, I'm going to make sure that I get in touch with the right person, I get in touch with someone who's interested, and that I get this done. So I did a shit ton of research. I gathered a bunch of contacts, found a bunch of information on the company and the business they're already doing with us being the print side of the business here. And then I gathered a bunch of other people, like resources from our company who might be able to give me some information on the people that I'm calling out to at the partner. And then little did I realize, by the time I actually called them on Friday, they were closed. So I spent all that goddamn time, trying to make the conditions perfect for my call to them, trying to figure out who the right person is and when's the best time to contact them, what's the best way to approach them, how can I position myself so they're more likely to take my call. All those good little things that, in the moment you feel like, okay, yeah, this is absolutely critical research and this is critical preparation that I'm doing because I don't want to look like an idiot when I call, right? And so, again, through my pursuit of putting myself in an advantageous position, I ruined it, right? The business was already closed by the time I called. It was like 4 o'clock on Friday, so 3 o'clock their time, and they close at 2:30 on Fridays. So I'm here thinking, oh, I'm doing my due diligence. By the time I know it's a Friday, but by the time I get them on the phone, they're gonna know, I'm gonna be able to share exactly who I am, why I'm calling, why this person needs to meet with them next week, and what's gonna go down when they meet, right? And so now I have to scramble, right? I have to scramble to get that appointment set up in the next 2 days before my field rep leaves for the area. And I still don't have the perfect conditions, right? And so that was a fun little lesson that I had to learn through, failure, I guess. I guess it would be kind of called failure because there was, I didn't get done what I needed to get done last week because inaction is really what it was. Through my own inaction, I taught myself to just do the thing, just do the thing. And so then, I guess, told you all of that to tell you this, which was the next morning, which was the morning of the 10th, that's when I woke up, read my book a little earlier than usual, granted. But I did get up and actually read it. And so I saw two things. I saw one thing, which was, it was one of my Snapchat story highlights from a couple years ago, which I thought was really cool. It was an August 10th highlight of the exact entry that I read. So before I read it, I went in and I saw, hey, wow, you've been kind of marinating on this shit for 2 years now, since 2016 or 2017, which is interesting. Just kind of an interesting perspective to see how long I've had this physical book in my possession here. It's getting pretty worn now that I think about it, but another thing that I saw obviously was that today was the day that I was going to be reading that entry. And so after I saw the Snapchat thing, which, sue me, check social media before I read a book. Woo. But then I went out and I actually read the passage again in the physical book, and I'm just like, ah, shit, you idiot. You did this yesterday. So if you didn't see my post, I will read, and I'm going to read the 12th today because I know you're just very curious about that. But I'd say the post for the 10th was, perfection is the enemy of the action. So the month of August is centered around pragmatism. Pragmatism being practicality, reasoned action or logical action with a true purpose, and that, hold on 1 second here, I am getting a phone call, not a phone call, just an alarm. Anyway, so where was I? Perfection is the enemy of action. That was the the post or the passage for August the 10th, and that was this past Saturday. And so I wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit today in the light of my own fuck up on Friday, and really Thursday and Wednesday as well of last week, which was just trying to, you know, quote unquote, be prepared so I quote unquote don't look stupid, when in reality, if I would have just called the first day that I saw the list, I probably would have gotten someone on the phone. As it turns out, actually, the guy I needed to talk to was out of the office starting on Thursday at 5 o'clock until this Wednesday, which is when I needed to have the appointment set up by. So kind of screwed myself, kind of played myself there. But then to read that in the morning was fucking, I thought it was just kind of funny, actually. I wish I had read this on the 8th or the 9th. Or just remembered it, right? So, Epictetus's discourses is the—it's just a short little blurb out of there, and it, for the quote, and it says, "We don't abandon our pursuits because we despair of ever perfecting them." And so, the passage is talking a little bit about, it's about cognitive distortions. Destructive behavioral patterns that kind of, we tend to exaggerate the impact that something is going to have, or we tend to exaggerate the impact that we will be able to have on something. And so psychologists speak of cognitive distortions as things that have a destructive impact on the life of their patient. One of the most common is known as all or nothing thinking, which is, or splitting, I guess they call it. So examples of this kind of a thought includes, if you're not with me, you're against me. So-and-so is all good or all bad, or because this wasn't a complete success, it is a total failure. So this sort of extreme thinking is associated with depression and frustration, and how could it not be? Perfectionism rarely begets perfection, only disappointment. Pragmatism has no such hang-ups. It'll take what it can get. That's what Epictetus is reminding us. We're never going to be perfect, if there even is such a thing. We're human after all. Our pursuits should be aimed at progress, however little that it's possible for us to make. So, again, like I said, I wish I would have had that nice little reminder on the 8th or the 9th even, so that I didn't spend so much time chasing that perfect conversation that I didn't end up having. And who knows, I may never end up having that perfect conversation now. And I may never, she may never get that appointment when she needs it, and it just, who knows, right? And so, it was a little lesson for me, because that was exactly what I needed to read at that time. It's funny how that works out. Again, she would have been 2 days previous, but good lesson for me to learn and to figure out. Better late than never, better imperfect than not done at all, right? So actually, that lesson kind of helped me with my round of golf on Saturday too, because I shot at least 15 strokes lower than I usually do, which isn't too great even still, but much better than I usually golf. So I'm usually thinking way too much about every shot and about having the perfect foot position and the perfect this, gotta land this perfectly and have it roll perfectly over there, or I gotta watch out for this obstacle and I just gotta make sure I don't hit it, right? And so instead of just getting set and swinging the club, and more often than not, that the ball rarely goes exactly where you want it to. If you're a golfer, you know this. And so you can hit a fantastic fucking shot, a perfect shot under dire circumstances. You're in the filthy rough. It's 3 inches thick grass. You know, you're 120 yards out and you fall just short of the green. Ah, shit, I wanted to get that on, man. But in reality, that could have gone much worse. You could have chunked your club. You know, you could have hit a tree on the way through. You could have missed the ball entirely if you're really not paying attention. And so I guess the reality of the situation is that if you just focus on something, on the task at hand, and you focus on just doing it and doing your best instead of getting the perfect result, and realizing that that perfect result is a hypothetical, it's fictional, and the easiest way to convince yourself to take action in the face of you know, longing for perfection is to remind yourself that perfection is a trick. You know, it's a lie that we tell ourselves in some cases to excuse our procrastination, and it's a pretty damaging effect that we have on ourselves when we don't allow imperfection to exist. or we find that we can't allow imperfection to exist. So I guess a little reminder for you, and I'm going to make this nice and short today just because I have work to do and it's going on 1 o'clock. So I'll close out by reading today's entry, which is another good piece to remind myself that it's not enough to just talk about, it's not enough to just talk about not chasing perfection like I am today, but it's an entirely different thing to actually not worry about perfection, right? And to maintain that thought through all that you do, through your tasks, through your day, you know, through your life, your relationships with other people. When you need to do something and you know it's not going to go well, why not just focus on how well it's, like, making it go as well as possible instead of how well it's going or how well it goes. And so today's entry is August 12th. Again, theme is pragmatism. And today the entry is titled Make the Words Your Own. Seneca's Moral Letters is bringing us the quote here. And it says, "And many words have been spoken by Plato, Zeno, Chrysippus, Posidonius, and by a whole host of equally excellent philosophers. I'll tell you how people can prove their words to be their own. By putting into practice what they've been preaching." One of the criticisms of Stoicism by modern translators and teachers is the amount of repetition. Marcus Aurelius, for example, has been dismissed by academics as not being original because his writing resembles that of other earlier Stoics. This criticism grossly misses the point. Even before Marcus's time, Seneca was well aware that there was a lot of borrowing and overlap among philosophers. And that's because real philosophers weren't concerned with authorship, only what worked. More importantly, they believed that what was said mattered less than what was done. And this is as true now as it was then. You're welcome to take all the words of the great philosophers and use them to your own liking, because they're dead and they don't mind. Feel free to tweak and edit and improve as you like. Adapt them to the real conditions of the real world. The way to prove that you truly understand what you speak and write, that you truly are original, is to put these things into practice. Speak them with your actions more than anything else. And again, great little reminder. That's part of the reason that I really love reading this book, is because it's, you know, I think a lot of times people talk about personal philosophy or philosophy in general, and, you know, they come across as high and mighty, myself included. You know, nobody really gives a shit that you know what fucking if you can regurgitate what a philosopher has to say, absolutely, fine. Go ahead, do it, quote somebody, do what you gotta do. But if you aren't living the things that you're quoting, then you seem like an asshole, right? And so I am an asshole, just for very different reasons. And I guess pretentiousness is what you would want to avoid. That's what I want to avoid, because I'm not an asshole in that way, right? So I guess that was a nice little reminder for me this morning too, was great, grand, good, awesome. Talk about philosophy all you want. Talk about political opinions. Talk about the right way to do things and the right way to treat people and the best way to live. But if you're not living that way, if you're not treating people that way, if you're not, if you're not abiding by the principles that you're actually out here and talking about, then you lose a lot of value with the people that you talk with, especially when they can actually see it. And you lose a lot of value with yourself along the way, because you're living two different kind of lives. You're living your public life, which is life A, that you want everyone to believe that you live, and then you live your inner life, life B, which is, you know, the reality of the way that you treat people and the way that you treat yourself and the way that you act. And so kind of had a nice little self-own over the weekend. Wanted to share that with you, and share why it's important not to worry so much about doing something perfectly, but just to worry about doing something. And so with that, I am out. I did promise this episode this weekend, and I fucked that up again. Bit of a self-own here. But I guess we are going to have two this week again. So, thank you for listening, and have a fantastic Monday. I sure am.